It's been a long, a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Today on Face the Nation, no condemnation by the president of white nationalists after a deadly protest in a southern city. The president who built a career on bluntness took pains to not place blame on any one group, enraging many.
So, what could President Trump have said on Saturday?
This is a vicious group of animals living in their parents' basements. A network of lawless savages.
Who should be put in jail, by the way.
Very, very bad people. Very bad, evil people.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing, bing.
And unless you name the enemy, you will never, ever solve the problem.
And why didn't he say that on Saturday?
We have a president that doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Thank you, Stephen Colbert. That was the cold open to The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last night. I couldn't have said it any better myself. So I thought that was an apropos way to kick off the show today. You know, I just got to say right off the bat, stop calling them alt-right. There is no such thing as alt-right. These people want you to call them alt-right as opposed to what they really are. Nazis, KKK members, white supremacists. That's what they are. And when you call them alt-right, it lessens it. It normalizes it. They are not normal. They are anything but. These are bigots, racists, the dregs of society who don't deserve to be softened around the edges. You saw the video. I watched it. I watched it unfold almost all day. I watched it on Saturday, which it was not very good for my mental health. But it's one of those things that I just couldn't look away from. I couldn't believe this was happening in the year 2017. Somebody's been calling for a few minutes here. Who is this on the 661 area code? Hello?
This is Linwood.
Hey, Linwood. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm like you. I'm from the city of Charlottesville.
Oh, wow.
And I seen it all. I was down there.
Were you?
Yes, ma'am, I was. And the way that the media is trying to spin it, it ain't what y'all think. It ain't what the media think it is.
Well, then what
happened? Okay. I'll explain it. Were there people down there with guns? Yes, it was. But it was these militia Oath Keeper people with the military fatigue on and all that stuff.
Right.
But they were neutral. They weren't either pro or con. They were just there just to be there like a damn statue.
Well, you know what? They shouldn't have been there. That's not their job.
They shouldn't have been there at all.
They shouldn't have been there.
They shouldn't have been.
Right.
They shouldn't have been in at all, but they are part of that right wing thing.
Then they're not neutral. Hold on a second, because in one breath you said mm-hmm. they're neutral. They were there just like statues. No, they're not neutral. They were there with the racists, with the bigots, with the Nazis and the Klan.
Yeah, they were there. They were there doing all that stuff, but they didn't say a word. They were like, they were just like, what are you doing here? You're not even active in it. They were just like walking around with a gun, you know, marching like it's just. Okay, we're just here with a gun. That's all. That's what they were doing.
Right.
Now, the fight that broke out in the garage, I was actually near that. And the people trying to say that this man had a gun, there was no gun there.
Okay.
What happened was the anti-fascist groups, because they beat up these people so bad that they, when the police said this was an unlawful assembly, they all retreated.
Mm-hmm.
It was like every few seconds, an anarchist or anti-fascist was beating up these people every minute, every second around me. They were just beating the hell out of them.
Out of the Nazis and the Klan members.
There was no Klan members there.
Okay.
These people that there were holding those flags. There were some people walking around with like the Confederate attire on, with the biker jackets and stuff like that on.
Right.
But the majority of the people that were there that was holding these Klan thingies and these white supremacist flags.
Yeah.
These people look like your college. These are like young people, most like college students.
Right.
They come out of a fraternity or your college professor. I was a few feet away from David Duke.
Ugh.
When he was speaking to the media.
Oh, were you?
I was also there with Richard Spencer was there.
Oh, boy.
They ran these people out. The city of Charlottesville police did.
Good.
And they got the complaining saying that, why are you arresting us? Why are you doing this to us? We have a permit by the judge. Now, Mike Signer, our mayor, tried to stop them from coming down here. But Jason Kessler, which is a local person here who's been stirring up all this mess, he went to a federal judge to get them to overturn Mike Signer's request.
Hmm.
The federal judge that overturned it decided, well, this is free speech. You can't stop free speech. Mike Signer, the mayor, said, you have to stop this. It's going to be a public safety issue. The federal judge said, freedom of speech. So if you want to blame anybody, blame that damn federal judge that needs to be disbarred because he, and also, if you really want to go sue somebody, you need to sue that man because it was a wrongful death that happened in that alley. And that alley was closed earlier. No traffic can go in. No traffic can go
right,
out.
Right. That's a,
so how the hell,
it's a pedestrian mall, right? That's a good question. That's a pedestrian mall. And Osama number 5 in the chat room, who also lives in Charlottesville, was saying that area is usually closed to traffic. Anytime there's any kind of event, it's closed to vehicles. So how did those cars get through there?
That's my question. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm not trying to sound like another Alex Jones, but I honestly do think that there was some sort of conspiring with the city of Charlottesville, the police department, and the politicians and the media that allow that to happen so they can get, that they can make this a political issue between the right and the left. Both sides have been politicizing this, hyping it up to really what it is. I've had some people, even my family members are fussing at me and mad at me for even going down there.
Yep.
But if I haven't went down there, I would have believed the exact same thing that everybody else is hearing.
But what do you think we're hearing? What is it that we're hearing that's wrong?
You're hearing that people were down there, were rioting with guns and all that.
Well, there
None
were
of that
people.
Is true.
There were people with guns.
There were people with guns. You're right. There were people
right?
with guns.
And there were
but
the militia.
It wasn't people using them guns to shoot people.
Right.
It
nobody
wasn't that
nobody
way.
Was shooting anybody. But still, Virginia is an open carry state. And you have people walking around brandishing weapons. That alone is threatening. Now, they were not with the counter protesters. And that's what I'll call them, the counter protesters. You could call them, I'm sure some were anarchists, some were anti-fascists, but they were counter protesters. And from what I understood, for the most part, those were people from Charlottesville and I'm sure some surrounding areas who were just out there saying, this is my city, you know, and you're
hateful.
Yeah, I did
hear that. That was their chant.
Right. It was the racists. It was the Nazis and the Klan members and the white supremacists and these militia people who came from outside of Charlottesville. From what I understand from the arrests, there were only one or two that were local to Charlottesville. All the others, including
the
guy.
Yeah, the majorities were from out of town.
Right. So I still don't know what I'm getting wrong here.
Well, you're not getting wrong, but don't, whatever you do in the cold, do not listen to the corporate media.
But,
they are trying to spin this. They're trying to,
you can't,
they're trying
you
to
can't
hype
paint
it up.
Them all the, no, I see this, that's where I disagree with you because I got most of my coverage, watching the corporate media. That's the only thing I had here sitting in South Florida watching it. You were out there, so you didn't see the coverage. I thought they were actually very fair. Except after the fact, when they have, you know, one, the both siderism people on, they have to have somebody who's who is sympathetic to these Nazis and somebody who is a counter protester. That's the kind of shit I turn off. But when the news is happening.
Yeah.
The news is happening, and they were just covering what was happening, and I thought they made it abundantly clear. The counter-protesters were out there peaceful. The people that were marching down that street.
No, not true at all. I'm telling you right now for what I saw.
Okay.
The counter-protesters in the whatever groups, they weren't just peaceful. They came down there. They came prepared with pepper spray, tear gas,
and the other Nazis things. Had pepper
They're
spray, too.
What the police had.
Right. The Nazis had the pepper spray, too.
Both sides had it.
Right.
Both sides were going at it like it was a tug of war.
Right.
If you were the bystander just standing down there, they weren't attacking you. They were attacking whoever had the Nazi paraphernalia, whoever had the Confederate stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody was coming at everybody.
Yeah. Well, what was supposed to happen
is
the cops were supposed to keep the two groups apart, and they didn't.
They were. But when the police off, I'll tell you another thing.
Yeah.
When the protesters were done beating on the Nazis, they started attacking the police.
Oh, God.
And so the police had to retreat. And when the police retreated, they came. Here comes the National Guard. The National Guard came in and stood in formation. What happened with the DeAndre Harris guy that got beat up in that parking lot, those anti-Nazi groups came in and attacked those guys in that parking structure down there. And that's when it became a big fight.
Yeah.
He just happened to be in the middle of it.
You know, in a situation like this,
somebody sprayed tear gas.
Yeah, then all bets are off. So what was your purpose in going down there? Why did you go?
Why I went down there? I was told not to go.
Yeah.
But knowing me, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go down here and see what's really going on. I'm going on the ground to just look. So I was just a bystander. I'm just going to walk like a pedestrian, just walk and just look at everything. And all I saw was, it was hectic down there. The ACLU was even down there with their blue vests on.
Right.
The ACLU was down there. A bunch of independent journalists were down there. And I talked to some of them, one from Reuters and one from another company. He was an investigative journalist. And they were asking me questions and they were just in the midst of it all. There was Black Lives Matter down there. But
everyone.
They were smaller. they were smaller, but the majority of it was anti-fascist and anti-fascist and anarchist.
Okay, and see, and that's the problem. No, I don't think that was the majority of the crowd. I mean, maybe in that one spot where you were, and there
was majority. It was majority European. It was a few African Americans, a few Latinos, a few Asians, but the overwhelming crowd of people were mostly European Americans, male and female.
European Americans? You mean white?
I don't use that term. They were, it was majority of that crowd.
I'm a white person. I'm not a European American. So, you know,
that's one of the questions I asked one of the protesters that was saying, I'm for white race. Why do you clarify yourself being American woman of Jewish descent? Why do you clarify yourself as white?
Because that's what I am. I'm a Caucasian woman. That's what I'm not a European American. I'm an American who happens to be Caucasian, and the general acceptable vernacular is white. That's what I call myself. I'm not a European American.
That's more of a political stance.
No, it isn't.
Political stance, not a race.
Okay. I think we're getting way off on a tangent here. All right. So your point is that both sides were wrong. So you agree with Donald Trump, huh?
I'm not saying. Oh hell no.
Well, that's what you're sounding like.
I think Donald Trump, and I said it to the local media, and this is his mess. He's got blood on his hands for this because he ran on a campaign. He ran on a campaign of this sort of garbage where he was rooting his protesters to beat up people that disagree with
him.
Yeah,
well, you know what?
Comes around.
All right, I'm going to let you go because there's a lot more to talk about, and we got a lot coming up today. I also, Trumantown in the chat room just said, Cornel West said the anti-fascists saved the clergy. I was watching AM Joy on Saturday morning when they were talking with the Reverend, and I'm drawing a blank on her name, and they had to push her out of the way because those racists, the Klan members, the Nazis, the white supremacists, those people that came to town to do this were attacking the clergy. They were attacking the clergy, peaceful people. So I thought the media did a pretty damn good job in the moment as it was happening. Now, all the discussions afterwards, I think, were a bit, you know, both-siderism, but that's what they tend to do. Hi, who's this from 417?
Hey, Nicole, Tamara here.
Hey, Tamara.
He's wrong, because if you go to gregpalace.com... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zach Roberts was there. Zach, who I know very well, and I'm trying to get a hold of. Zach was taking pictures.
Video.
Yeah.
He's got video of the guy pointing the gun at him.
That's right. You're right. Zach Roberts has video of a guy, one of these white supremacists, pointing a gun right at him. So they were brandishing weapons. You know, for someone to call in and say, the media was wrong, I was there. There was so much going on all over the place. No one person can say, this is what happened, because you could have been on one corner and something entirely different was happening on another corner.
Well, the way I see it, it is time for peaceful protesters to arm themselves with something to fight back.
Oh, see, this
is
what scares me.
Pepper spray.
Yeah,
but whether it's pepper spray or I've got one of those telescoping little metal billy clubs that you put it in your pocket, and if someone comes at you, you just take it out of your pocket, hit a button, it opens
and
up,
and then they pull a gun on you, and you're dead. There, you know what?
Well,
there's no easy answer to this. There's no easy answer. As I said to our I'm going to run, Tamara, because a lot of people are calling and trying to get in. So we'll just keep going. Hi, who's this?
This is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Phoenix area.
Okay. What are your thoughts on what happened this weekend?
You know, can I just say deplorable? Does that word sound familiar?
Yeah.
But I just wanted to comment about that other caller. I heard him call another show yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I think he's a troll. He's trying to make it sound like it was the left or like it was two sides.
I don't know what he was trying to get at. That's why I said, so you agree with Trump? Because, he wasn't making much sense.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to put that out there. I heard him call another show yesterday, and I think that he's just trying to muddy the water.
I hear you.
But I think, you know, we knew who this guy was when he was elected.
Yep.
We knew. Hillary told us. She certainly did.
Oh, she didn't even have to tell us. She didn't have to tell us. We knew just by watching him, listening to him.
We knew exactly what he was. It's like, you know, I was a Bernie supporter at first, but I also know that I'm a Democrat.
That's right.
And that there's no way that I, just because my preferred Democrat doesn't make it into the election, that I'm going to throw all of my, you know, everything out the window to follow the person that doesn't believe anything that I believe in.
Exactly. And the people who voted for Trump out of spite, and I spoke with a number of them on this show, I hope they're proud of themselves because this is what we got.
Exactly. It's like dealing with children.
But
don't cut off your nose to spite your face.
With psychotic children, with really dangerous, you know, this
we're, with the football.
Yeah. With the nuclear football. You're absolutely right.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much for your time, Nicole. Have a great day.
Thank you, Ashley. Thanks for the call. All right. You know what? This will keep going. So let's get Laffy on the line. I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. We'll do what's news, get some of that sound out of the way that I was gathering. You'll hear a little bit more of what went on. And then Gotta Laugh joins us. There's a lot to talk about today. It's a sad world that we're living in and a scary world. And yeah, I do want to talk about what do you do? The advice that I gave our pal, and I hate calling him Osama. Osama number 5 is his name in the chat room, who called in on Friday. And I said, don't go out there. Stay safe. Because you knew trouble was going to happen. But then again, if you don't do anything, is that as bad as getting out there and getting mixed up in it? That's one of those perplexing questions. So we'll get to it with Gotta Laugh next. Don't go away. It's Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. I read the news
today, oh boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On Saturday, the world watched in horror as white supremacists gathered in Charlottesville, Virginia, ostensibly to protest the impending removal of a Robert E. Lee statue from a city park. They came brandishing weapons, helmets and shields, Nazi flags and other signs of their white nationalist beliefs. Counter-protesters came out to defend their city and the freedom of all Americans, and chaos ensued. One woman was killed when a white supremacist rammed his car, ISIS-style, into a crowd of peaceful counter-protesters, and the response from the president was not at all what a nation on edge needed. On Monday night, late-night TV got serious.
Even though The Tonight Show isn't a political show, it's my responsibility to stand up against intolerance and extremism as a human being. What happened over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, was just disgusting. I was watching the news like everyone else, and you're seeing like Nazi flags and torches and white supremacists, and I was sick to my stomach. My daughters are in the next room playing, and I'm thinking, how can I explain to them that there's so much hatred in this world? They're 2 years old and 4 years old. They don't know what hate is. But as kids grow up, they need people to look up to show them what's right and good. They need parents and teachers, and they need leaders who appeal to the best in us. The fact that it took the president 2 days to come out and clearly denounce racists and white supremacists is shameful. And I think he finally spoke out because people everywhere stood up and said something.
Our hearts go out to the victims and their families, and it is difficult to express how heartbreaking it is to see something like this happening in our country. But here's one thing that's not difficult to express. Nazis are bad. The KKK, I'm not a fan. That wasn't hard. That was easy. I enjoyed saying it. Mm-hmm. But on Saturday, when the nation looked to our president to rebuke these hate groups, what he said was this.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides.
Many sides? Mr. President, this is terrorism, not your order at KFC.
On many sides. If that choice of words made you feel sick to your stomach, the good news is you're a normal and decent person. The jury is still out on the president as he initially refused to condemn the white supremacist movement in this country. Now, he did read a statement at the White House today that finally struck the right tone, but I'm sorry. Pencils down on this subject was Saturday evening. He only gets very partial credit. Some ignored it or played it down when Donald Trump claimed our first black president was born in this country. It was racist and insane, but he was written off as a clown, a bitter little man who didn't know an American could have a name like Barack Obama. Then he called Mexicans rapists during the speech announcing his candidacy. He called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. Then he brought Steve Bannon to the White House with him, worked to take away voting rights from black people, and hammered away at the idea that Chicago was a wasteland because of the violent black people living there. And now white supremacists and American Nazis are visible and energetic and demonstrative in a way we've not seen in our lifetimes. Donald Trump did not immediately denounce the white supremacist movement when given the chance. And now, whether he knows it or not, many of those people see him as leading that movement.
The White House tried it again, sort of.
On Sunday, the White House released this. The president said very strongly in his statement yesterday that he condemns all forms of violence, bigotry, and hatred. And, of course, that includes white supremacist, KKK, neo-Nazi, and all extremist groups. Okay, good. Finally, someone willing to stand up. Only we don't know who that person was because it was an unidentified White House spokesperson.
On Monday, after a weekend, to call out the Nazis, Ku Klux Klan, and white supremacist groups by name, the president tried it again.
Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans. We are a nation founded on the truth that all of us are created equal. We are equal in the eyes of our Creator. We are equal under the law, and we are equal under our Constitution. Those who spread violence in the name of bigotry strike at the very core of America.
When he did address the violence in Charlottesville, Trump didn't apologize, but presented his statement as an update on the Department of Justice civil rights investigation into the death of Heather Heyer, the woman hit by a car allegedly driven by an Ohio protester with ties to neo-Nazi groups. Trump made no mention of domestic terrorism in his remarks. He did, however, lash out at the chief executive of Merck Pharmaceuticals, Kenneth Frazier, who resigned from the president's American Manufacturing Council, saying he objected to Trump's Saturday statement blaming the violence on, quote, many sides. Less than an hour after the announcement, Trump tweeted, "Now that Ken Frazier of Merck Pharma has resigned from the president's Manufacturing Council, he will have more time to lower rip-off drug prices." Two other CEOs have reportedly followed Frazier's lead, with Under Armour's Kevin Plank and Brian Krzanich, CEO of Intel, also leaving the council. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these segments, I hope you'll consider a contribution. The Nicole Sandler Show and What's News are 100% listener-funded, and we can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, boy. Hello, got a laugh.
I love that opening. Oh, God. Well, yes. In fact, you've reached the stop calling them the alt-right hotline.
Ah,
there we
boy,
go.
Boy, great minds think alike.
I'm telling you, when you started to say that, I'm like, wait a minute, we're right together again. Okay, so press 1 if you think normalizing Nazis with Richard Spencer's coined euphemism, the alt-right, is like normalizing Steve Bannon by calling him frisky. Press 2 if you think calling Nazis the alt-right is like calling Trump quirky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Press 3 if you think calling white supremacists the alt-right is like calling the KKK's white robes hoodies.
Yeah. Yes.
Have a nice day.
You know, you know, I did music radio for most of my career, and I do not like country music. But in the mid-90s, there was a resurgence of this music. It was bands like the Jayhawks and Whiskey Town. Ryan Adams came out of Whiskey Town, and Sunvolt and Lucinda Williams and, you know, even Emmylou Harris and, you know, a whole bunch of those kind of artists that were called alt country. That worked because they weren't quite country, but they were the Eagles. If they had just been coming out around then, would have been called alt country. It's like country rock, but they went by. That's when I hear alt. That's what I think of. And for these guys to call themselves alt right is just vomitatious.
Well, that's the thing. They've done this a lot. They take words that we're used to hearing and turn them into some kind of a toxic wasteland. You know, I don't want to use alt for anything. I tell people, okay, so for months now, I've been screaming on Twitter, stop using the words alt-right. That's mm-hmm. that's using their language.
That's right.
It was a selling point, a sales pitch by Richard Spencer to soften the language so that it appeals to more people.
Yep.
And by using their language, they're perpetuating Nazism inadvertently. They're using a selling point.
Exactly. And because they don't want to be called Nazis. They don't want to be called,
white supremacists.
Klan members or white supremacists.
Yeah.
So they are, well, we can call ourselves the alt-right. That doesn't sound so horrible. And hey, it's kind of catchy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just perpetuating a euphemism that should never have started in the first place. And yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, Stephanie Ruhle and Ali Velshi ran a big opening segment on all the euphemisms and what these groups really stand
for. Oh, good for them.
And it was really good.
Good for them.
I took two screen grabs and put them out there. So, you know, that way I can keep reusing them. But then they went back to calling them the alt-right during the segment or the segment after that. So what was the point? Other than enlightening people, I'm glad they did that. Don't get me wrong. But if you're going to go back and reuse the same euphemism,
right.
What is the point?
Because it's been mainstreamed. And now the news readers are using that term to describe them instead of calling them out for the bigots, the racists, the cretins that they are.
Exactly. I mean, if they kept calling Jews kikes, would then everybody adopt the word kikes because they got used to hearing it? I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, just because they want to play a game and you want to, you know, you play it. I mean, that's just, it doesn't make sense for them to keep using that word. Anyway, I keep screaming at MSNBC, at so-and-so, stop using their word. You're playing into their sales pitch. Stop it. You're normalizing a word that shouldn't be normalized, and you're normalizing a movement that shouldn't be normalized. So,
right. And you know
you
what?
Go.
I hadn't even heard this, but Trumantown just said in the chat room, if you support Bernie, the corporate Dems call you alt-left.
Yes.
Do
yes,
they?
Yes, I've heard that.
See, and that's wrong, too. That's equating one with the other, and I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I was a Bernie Sanders supporter, still am. Doesn't make me alt-anything.
Exactly.
There have been times throughout my life that I've not wanted to be called a Democrat. Right now, call me a fucking Democrat.
That's how I feel. Exactly.
Sure, it beats the other side. And right now, we got to get them out of office. We got to change things.
Absolutely. And with all, again, I know I mentioned this on last week, but with all the governors in place now, there are so many states that are right leaning or right controlled,
mm-hmm.
you know, completely
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we're having trouble standing a chance here.
I
like
know.
I put up, I hope I can find it. I put up a tab for later. I'll get to it, I guess. I don't want to look for it now, but it makes that point. We'll get to it later. Anyway, do you want to get right to TweetSpot?
Sure.
Because I have so many.
Let's do it. The birdies
Welcome
are impatient. Okay. So what's
by the way, Trump isn't just normalizing racism. He's making laws that will enforce racism. You know, that's people are talking a lot about speech, and we're talking a lot about vernacular, but making policy that is racist. So we have to pay attention, guys.
Absolutely. I said absolutely.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. So Dan Pfeiffer, former Obama advisor.
Yes.
When I sent this to you, I wrote former Trump advisor.
Yeah,
I actually had a bad dream about getting bombed, you know, by North Korea. And I've got Trump on my brain so hard now that I'm just saying Trump all the time, whether it's appropriate or not. Dan Pfeiffer said, I condemn white supremacy, but vote for Trump's agenda is the new, I send thoughts and prayers to the victim, but vote against the gun safety. So I think he's nailed it on that.
Yeah. No, that, yep.
You know, I hate Nazis. They're terrible. But yeah, let's do away with voting rights. You know,
right?
It's just awful.
Well, there was legislation. I don't know if it was legislation or a new program that the Trump administration is pushing to get race, you know, racial crimes out of the hate crime legislation.
Yes, and they're cutting funding.
Cutting funding for it. And who was this pushed by? Sebastian Gorka's wife. What the hell she's doing in there. You know, one other thing. Let me just say this. For all of his idiocy and all of the back and right, left and right talk on the cable news. Again, while the news was happening, the coverage was very good. It's the aftermath of the, you know, one from each side yelling at each other that I can't stand.
Yes.
One thing that very few people brought up was the fact that Trump still has at least three of these Nazis, these white supremacists, these cretins on his staff. And they're Sebastian Gorka, it's Stephen Miller, and it's Steve Bannon. And until those three are eviscerated from the White House, nothing is going to change.
I actually put that out there a couple of times today because it's bothering me so much. Everyone's doing the same old, same old. Oh, you know, he'll get rid of Bannon. Bannon's toast. Well, first of all, Trump was toast in November, wasn't he? And look where he is.
Yeah.
And we have a GOP Congress, so nobody's toast. And even if my point on Twitter was, even if Bannon was kicked out, that isn't going to change Trump's policies. He's going to still listen to Bannon, or at least listen to Breitbarties, and he's going to do the same thing he's been doing. So yes, it would be good to get him out of the White House, where he can have even more influence. But that doesn't mean Trump is going to do any changing.
No. No, but these people have his ear. They're right down the hall. Steve Bannon is right there. He needs to be the fuck out of there. And Stephen Miller, that little smarmy, creepy
weasel. Yeah.
He is. And he's Jewish.
Yeah. Which just goes to show you, I have a couple of tweets about that that we'll get to about just because you're Jewish doesn't mean blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, Keith Olbermann.
Yes.
He said, talking to Trump, it took you 3 days. It lasted 40 seconds. You never said domestic terrorism. Fuck you, real Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly right. He did his duty by reading off a teleprompter. And as Kelly O'Donnell actually made a really good point on MSNBC, she said Trump links the acts that happened in Charlottesville to criminality. He did not condemn the mere existence of racist groups.
Right. No, not at all. And he didn't say, and a point that's been made a lot, he didn't say, I don't want your support. You know, I've got the David Duke audio if we ever want to hear it again. I don't necessarily have to. He never said, don't vote for me. I don't want your votes. I don't want your support. Because he knows he needs it. By the way, speaking of Keith Olbermann, he just retweeted Carl Bernstein, or he responded to him, a three-tweet little thread. Carl Bernstein wrote, important Republicans, conservatives, intel, military high ups increasingly saying in private that Donald Trump is unfit to be president because of lack of ethics, competence, temperament / stability. Reporters should find out how pervasive such talk may be.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they should.
And that would bug the hell out of him. I would love that. That would just, I mean, the larger picture aside here, which is what you're saying, I would just love to see Trump's reaction to that reporting. That would just be sort of fun. Anyway, Gady Epstein, who was with The Economist, he said not many presidents could make threatening nuclear war the second worst thing did in a week.
Yeah, you got that right.
That's really upsetting.
It really is upsetting.
That's why I had a bad dream. Yeah.
Who could imagine? You know, our attention was taken off of the idea of being hit with nukes by something else that Trump did.
Gah!
Yeah.
Frank Conniff, who was the writer actor, he's very funny. He's very clever.
John Fugelsang's sidekick on his XM show.
Yep. And he said white nationalism and Nazism aren't all that popular. So maybe CNN and the New York Times should stop calling Steve Bannon a populist.
Touche.
Bingo. These are smart people. God, there's so many good, smart people out there saying smart things. Josh Marshall was tweeting that Trump was, quote, seriously considering pardoning criminal Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Yes, he is.
And yes, he is. Very seriously, he says. And Shadow Cabinet, which is a progressive group, said, perfect. To show Trump's newfound sincerity on racism, he pardons this guy?
Yep.
Yep. You know, we're beginning to talk alike. This is scary. Mark Berman at The Washington Post, I have a paragraph. I can't remember. I did send you the paragraph, I think.
Yep.
He said, the White House sounds like a fun work environment. And then he quotes the New York Times and says, top administration officials like to joke that working for Mr. Trump is like toiling in the court of Henry VIII. Mick Mulvaney, the president's budget director, recently handed out copies of the play A Man for All Seasons about the last years of Sir Thomas More, Henry's religiously zealous chancellor, who was executed for failing to fulfill his monarch's directive to get him a divorce from Anne Boleyn. Mr. Bannon read it, according to a person familiar with the situation, and was amused when an associate compared him to More.
Oh, my God.
Fun working environment, indeed. Everything we hear, it just they keep topping themselves or bottoming themselves, I guess. Chris Hayes tweeted, noteworthy to me that the White House let Trump freelance a whole week of nuclear diplomacy, but not a basic statement saying racism is bad. They wouldn't trust him with that one.
Right. But his whole many sides that appeared to be ad-libbed. That was not in his original non-committal statement.
Right. He looked up at the camera at that point because the whole time he'd had his eyes glued, literally glued to the papers that he was reading from.
Right.
And then he went many sides. I mean, you know, all this. So I immediately heard, I don't remember which Democrat it was, a Congress member, after Trump gave the second statement and said, I hate to even say these words, now he's starting to at least sound more presidential.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, wait a minute, you. Excuse me? I mean, I heard that. I heard the speech. It wasn't presidential. He waited 2 days, 3 days, whatever it was, to make the speech. He said it after he bragged about the economy first.
Yes.
So it wasn't even his priority. His priority was bragging.
And that, they even said, was his decision. He wanted to talk about the economy before he talked about this. As on Saturday, you know, he had to go over and thank the veterans who were standing on the stage. Because he couldn't even make this be its own little... event where he comes out and talks about the horrific stuff going on in Charlottesville. He piggybacks it on top of a veterans event. And before he goes up to the microphone to talk about the horrors that are going on in our nation, he has to go over and personally thank these veterans for their service, even though he was going to after. Everything about this man makes my skin crawl.
Right. Well, first he wanted to make sure that we all knew how great he was because he knew he was being absolutely, you know, just blasted for the way he handled Charlottesville. So the only way he could handle giving any kind of remarks was to first couch it in, look how great I am. I'm not as bad as you guys think. I'm great. And then he uses them as props, basically, in the background while he says these absolutely, insincere words that he was forced to say.
Yeah, that he read off the teleprompter.
Yeah, which he always used to bash Obama for.
Of course.
So, you know, so typically hypocritical. And yet his followers, who was it? There was somebody really terrific. It was an author. I think she was on... it was either Chris Hayes or Lawrence O'Donnell. I wish I could remember which. I think it was Lawrence O'Donnell. And she said, this is an addiction. The reason people have been glomming so hard onto this whole Trump racist thing is it's a rush. It's an emotional, I'm really paraphrasing here, just so you know, but it struck me this way, an emotional rush that they then are, they do it again and again, and it gets to the point where they can't stop despite the fact that they know how wrong he is.
Yeah.
They get addicted to
the chaos,
their own, you know, little circle of hate.
Ugh.
Anyway, okay. Trump said, I'm going to have two reactions to this. Trump said in a tweet, made additional remarks on Charlottesville and realized once again that the fake news media will never be satisfied. Truly bad people. Okay, and then Ryan Lizza of The New Yorker said, think about the implications here. Essentially, quote, I condemned Nazis against my will to appease the media, and they're still not happy, unquote.
Right, and that's what pissed him off more than the fact of, you know, this racial violence happening under his watch. He's pissed off that the media is not satisfied with his bullshit statement of a condemnation.
Right. And then Haley Byrd, who's from the Independent Journal Review, said on the same topic, it's easy for Trump to call reporters truly bad people, but it takes 3 days and political pressure for him to say it about racists and Nazis, yep. Which is basically what we've been saying.
Yep.
There was something that just crossed here. Sheriff of Durham County, North Carolina, says he wants to charge protesters who pulled down a Confederate statue.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I know that other states, and damn, I don't have the story in front of me. I think there was Kentucky was one of them. They were saying after the events of this weekend in Charlottesville, they were rushing through their plans to remove some of these Confederate statues that were already in the works. Yes. I guess maybe North Carolina wasn't one of them.
Yeah, no, I did see that. Okay, so I have some more tabbed up here that I didn't send you because they were from today.
Okay.
First of all, Walmart's CEO, of all things, joins group to rebuke Trump over the Charlottesville.
Wow.
So he jumped on the bandwagon. Good
he
for
left
him.
There's a bunch of them. And you heard Donald Trump had tweeted out, for every CEO that drops out of the manufacturing council, I have many to take their place.
Yeah.
Grandstanders should not have gone on. Jobs. First of all, they're not grandstanders. He's the grandstander. He's the biggest projectionist. This is all he does is project. Everything he tweets about, the things that he's angry about are things he does.
Always. I mean, you can count on it.
Yep.
Because that's the thing about, there's sort of a common phrase now that people tweet out. Look, there's one for every occasion. And then what they do is they retweet a Trump tweet from, say, 2012, 2015, that is exactly what he's attacking other people for.
Yeah, like all of his tweets about Obama playing golf, just as an example.
Yeah, perfect example.
Perfect example. And he's spent more time on the golf course, I think, in the first 7 months than Obama did.
First four years.
Something like that.
Anyway, the CEO of Walmart said that the president missed a critical opportunity to help bring our country together. So, All right.
I have one.
Oh, okay, so
I have
go
one.
Ahead.
Media Matters tweeted out a quote from Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich said, mayors who take down Confederate statues are just pandering to a black audience. So a guy named John Rogers, who happens to be a television writer, I've never seen any of his shows, but The Librarians is one of his. I've heard it's a funny, quirky show. Anyway, he tweets out, Newt, people's feelings change. One day everybody loves a statue. Then suddenly they just want a new, younger statue that doesn't have cancer.
Oh, my God. That was perfect.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Wow. I wish I'd thought of that. Okay, so I was watching MSNBC this morning, and there was some Republican guy on who was arguing that because Trump has Jewish grandchildren, that shows he's not a bigot, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I later in the day on MSNBC, this happened. Josh Barrow tweeted out, Pastor Daryl Scott on MSNBC literally arguing Trump can't be anti-Semitic because he has a Jewish lawyer.
Oh, my God.
And there was a big fight between Katie Turr and this pastor.
I saw some of that. And this why they have these people on. This is what I was talking about. You know, and I've lately risen to the defense of the corporate media on a lot of things, on their coverage of news, on their breaking of stories. And it's not so much cable news, but New York Times and Washington Post, who are doing a particularly good job. But even some, you know, look, it is hard to keep up with all this shit that's going on. It's head spinning left and right. And it's, as if there's not enough stress from all the crap going on, just trying to keep up with it is stress inducing. I give them more props than I've been. And I've been very critical of the corporate media in the past.
Sure.
But when they have these people on just for the sake of having an alternative point of view, That's obscene to me. That pastor had no reason to be on television except that, you know, he's a nut job. And I guess they're looking for people who are sympathetic to these bigots, to the racists, to the Klansmen, because you don't have someone who wants to come on in their hood or carrying their Nazi flag. Although these days, I'm guessing it would be a lot easier to find one of those people than it would have, you know, even a few months ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, what kills me is that you have all these Republican congressmen coming out and saying, you know, this is terrible. What he's saying is just, oh, God, that's awful. Oh, my God. But, you know, they support all this policy. So until they start reverting, you know, give us back the Voting Rights Act, stop discriminating against gay people and women, reverse these laws that you've tried to put into effect or that you have put into effect. Until you do that, I don't care how much you yell and scream about what an awful person Trump was that day, you're standing up for him,
right,
with your actions.
Exactly. You know, CNN finally fired that Jeffrey Lord guy, and I'll tell you, I couldn't give you examples of some of the heinous things he said, because anytime he'd come on, I'd change the channel, because that's the kind of stuff I don't want to watch. I don't need to see eight faces in little boxes all yelling at one another. And there are some on the left that are like that. Simone Sanders, if I never hear her again, it'll be too soon. She screams for the sake of hearing her own voice. When they have those segments on just to have people arguing with one another, it's a waste of time.
Totally waste.
Right?
Yeah, so, I totally agree with that.
But apparently what they fired Jeffrey Lord for was he tweeted out Sig Heil as a way to basically say fuck you to somebody. And that was their final straw. And some of the tweets and the other coverage I read said he's done much worse than that.
Yes.
And they let all that stuff slide. So go figure.
Exactly. That's the thing. When they finally get to their last straw, they had their last straw 5 years ago. You know, they could have just ended the problem with these people after their first little overture of racism or whatever it happens to be. Here's one of the comments I think I was looking for. Wiley Miller, who is the cartoonist and does non sequitur, he's syndicated. So he's got this really funny little quirky strip.
He's a cartoonist.
Anyway, he and I are Twitter buddies now. And he said, and this is off the earlier thing where Trump said, well, you know, or the people were saying Trump's no bigot because he has a Jewish lawyer and all that. Wiley Miller said, and don't forget, Omarosa is black and a woman, therefore Trump can't possibly be a racist or a misogynist.
Oh my God.
Because he was just like, just riffing off it.
Did you see that Trump sent her to a National Society of Black Journalists event, and people were so offended. Some got up and turned their back on her when she spoke, and a bunch of people got up and walked out.
Yeah, she had a half hour long fight with the guy on stage. Yeah, it was a big, it was all over Twitter that day when it was happening live. Big doings. Okay, just this came across today. This is a headline. This isn't a like an opinion tweet.
Right.
The CBO came out and said if Trump ends the key Obamacare subsidies, premiums will spike by 20% and raise the deficit by $194 billion.
I saw that. Yeah.
Imagine. Who knew that healthcare could be so complicated?
And you don't know, I'm like petrified that come next year, I'm not going to have insurance. You know, insurance companies have until, I think, mid-September to decide whether or not they're going to be in the exchanges. And Trump still hasn't said whether or not he's going to, you know, pay the cost sharing and the risk corridor payments or anything that it's up to him if he wants to stop. That would throw the entire economy into an uproar.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then we could all blame him. Yay. Meanwhile, we all get sick and die. Oh, my God. All right. Bree Newsom.
Yes.
Bree Newsom, an activist. She's amazing. She had a little tweet storm of about, let's see.
You know who
she is?
She's the one who climbed up and.
The flagpole.
The flagpole, right, to pull down the Confederate flag.
Yep.
In North Carolina.
She said in response to all of this stuff. I'm going to read it as a paragraph. Either you believe slavery and racism are evil causes that shouldn't be celebrated, or you don't. It's that straightforward. There is no gray. No one would use terms bravery or valor to describe Nazis who died at Stalingrad. Why should such honorifics be bestowed to Confederates? Only reason for folks not being bothered by monuments to Confederacy is because they aren't that bothered by racism and slavery, period. No one would say, well, not all Nazis were fighting to exterminate Jews. They fought for other reasons, too. except for Nazi sympathizers. But Black Americans are expected to be cool with there being monuments celebrating our enslavement, rape, and murder because not all are Confederates. Because even though monuments were erected by racists at times, at a time Blacks weren't allowed to vote, we're supposed to wait for the removal the right way. There was nothing right about the monuments being erected in the first place, so the only right way is to remove them. Is immediately. Ta-da!
Nice.
There was more. Oh, and if you truly believe in the causes of justice and freedom and equality in USA, that shouldn't be a discomforting thought for you at all. She's good.
Yeah, she is. She is very good. By the way, did you hear that the Lincoln Memorial was vandalized with red graffiti?
No, I did not hear that.
Yep. Crews from the National Park Service are working to remove red graffiti from the Lincoln Memorial. I can't read what it says, but there's a big F-U. It looks like they wrote fuck something.
Right.
And it might have been Lincoln. You know,
yeah.
You know, Donald Trump, that's one thing. He loves Lincoln. He loves his Lincoln. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just sickening.
It is really sickening.
Everything is sickening. Okay, so then I saw a headline breaking. This is from USA Today. President Trump is trying to... Oh, I said those words together. Trump is trying to reverse Obama's legacy through legal battles, and then it lists a bunch of legal battles. And I said, so Trump is trying to make President Obama illegal?
He's been trying to do that for years.
That was the point. I put irony after it.
Uh-huh.
So it was, I was self-aware. Okay, and the last one I have is from Alt Sarah H. Sanders. This is a really good... it's Alt U.S. Press Secretary.
Right. Uh-huh.
Really good account. 2016... I'm the worst year ever. 2017, hold my swastika.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. She's really good. So things are moving right along. I'm trying to see why I held this for you. Why should Jameel Smith wrote up an op-ed that was in my LA Times this morning, and there was a little bit that I wanted to read you. It was just maybe not even a paragraph, like three sentences.
Okay.
Quote, this is out of context, but you'll get it. These monuments purposely celebrate a fictional sanitized Confederacy, he said. I'm trying to see who said it, but I can't. After the Civil War, these statues were a part of that terrorism as much as burning a cross on someone's lawn. They were erected purposefully to send a strong message to all who walked in their shadows about who was still in charge in the city. Then in comes Jameel, and he says, In this way only does it start to make sense that racists would commit terrorism to defend monuments. The monuments themselves are terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
That to me said it in a nutshell.
I hear it. Yep.
You know what I mean? The monuments themselves.
Yes.
So every time you walk by those, you're reminded of the horrors that went on.
And you know, the monuments were erected right at the height of the Jim Crow era. They weren't erected like during the Civil War. They were erected later as, you know, the next round of racism was rearing its ugly head during Jim Crow in the 20s and 30s. That's when.
Right.
So, by the way, Trip, call me Trip, in the chat room said, it said, fuck Islam is what the graffiti at the Lincoln Memorial said.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I hate this.
I hate this, too. This is just so, I mean, disconcerting isn't a tough enough word. No. It's blood curdling. It is.
It's so disturbing. It's so terrifying to me. You know, we're seeing after World War II. After all these people that the Republicans love to celebrate as the greatest generation, after they did everything they could to eradicate the Nazis, you know, and they're held up at, you know, always the veterans in the background, the older veterans are celebrated constantly. And now you've got people trying to resurrect that era and worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happy Tuesday.
I keep wanting to say, well, things will get better, but we're being warned already. September is going to be horrific. You know, there's a debt ceiling fight. Trump's going to have to raise the debt ceiling. The Republicans aren't going to want to do it. We're in for some just ugly times ahead. So get those stomach calming pills and send me a few extra too, please.
You optimist, you. You're just always saying that to make me feel better. I just love that.
Gotta laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh. Here on Tuesdays. Thanks, Laffy.
You gotta laugh or you cry.
No shit. All right.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for today. We made it through a Tuesday. Unbelievable. Tomorrow, we'll take on Wednesday. Thank you for listening. If you can spare a few extra bucks, we could certainly use it here. The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Thank you for your help.
It's Tuesday, August 15, 2017.
What I saw is actually extremely very terrible and unimaginable.
Hundreds dead in Sierra Leone after massive mudslide caused by torrential rains.
You know, it's 8,000 square miles of no oxygen. That can't be good.
This year's Gulf of Mexico dead zone is the largest ever recorded. Scientists warn super heat waves will get more frequent. Plus, it's not your imagination, Florida. Sea levels really are rising faster in the southeast.
How can that be? We'll find out all of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Republicans used to be against lead in the drinking water. Now they're happy to poison their children if it'll make Al Gore sad.
Well, he is the root of all evil. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, absolutely horrifying, disastrous news out of Sierra Leone today.
Yes, it's the latest in a string of extremely deadly extreme weather disasters. In the African nation of Sierra Leone, in the town of Freetown, officials say at least 300 people were killed in the pre-dawn hours on Monday morning as a massive mudslide caused by days of torrential rains and flash floods buried residents in their homes while they slept. Officials say the death toll may get even higher. Rescue operations are underway.
Is it too early to tell if there is a climate change fingerprint here?
Yes, it is too early for an attribution study, but these extreme torrential downpours are consistent with what scientists have predicted will happen with global warming. In Iraq, the Iraqi government has declared a mandatory holiday due to an extensive and severe heat wave. Civil servants were ordered to remain home because temperatures in the cities of Baghdad and Basra have soared to more than 124 degrees Fahrenheit for more than 10 days straight.
Is the finger of climate change on that?
Well, again, it is too soon to say, but it is consistent with what scientists predicted.
Feels like we're starting to see a pattern here.
And now yet another new study projects that such extreme heat waves will get even worse. The Joint Research Center, which is the science and research laboratory of the European Union, in a study released last week, calculated that if humanity does not cut carbon emissions on our current trajectory, we can expect what they called super heat waves to hit regularly in many parts of the world, including Europe and the United States. They say we can expect extended stretches of temperatures above 131 degrees.
Oh, man, those super heat waves? Not so super.
Meanwhile, the fossil fuel industry, whose emissions cause the global warming that intensifies extreme weather events like heat waves and floods, are being subsidized by governments to the tune of more than $5 trillion a year. In a new study, economic researchers at the International Monetary Fund combined two numbers to reach that $5 trillion: direct subsidies to consumers that keep fossil fuel prices low, and producer subsidies. That's direct and indirect payments and tax breaks given to the fossil fuel industry. And also the environmental costs of pollution and health impacts that the fossil fuel industry doesn't pay for, but governments do. The report calculates that government subsidies globally for the fossil fuel industry amount to more than 6% of global GDP.
But we're told that renewable energy can't survive without government subsidies.
Exactly. In the United States, in the Gulf of Mexico, this year's dead zone is the largest ever recorded, according to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Dead zones are areas with no oxygen that kill whatever can't swim away fast enough, and that harms Louisiana's commercial shrimping industry. They're caused when nutrient pollution, largely from agricultural runoff like manure and fertilizer, washes into bodies of water. That creates algae blooms that use up all the oxygen. And farming is the primary culprit, according to former NOAA scientist Dan Scavia in an interview with NPR.
Most of the nitrogen and phosphorus that drives this problem comes from the upper Midwest. It's coming from agriculture. You know, it's 8,000 square miles of no oxygen. That can't be good.
Finally, sea levels are rising faster in Florida and other southeastern coastal states than in other parts of the world. Sea levels rise unevenly around the planet, and researchers with the University of Florida have now confirmed that between 2011 and 2015, the sea level in Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, and points farther south rose 6 times faster than the long-term global average.
So sea levels rise at different rates, even though it's the same sea?
Yes, exactly, due to different underwater geology, for example. Also, warming oceans expand.
And it's hitting North Carolina and points south down to Florida.
Yeah.
Climate change denial country.
Yes, kind of. And it's not going to get any better. Flood systems that are designed for the last 50 years are not ready for the next 50 years.
We're not ready for a lot of this over the next 50 years, I'm afraid. Thank you. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. We've got a lot of extra stories that we just don't have time for in our 6 minutes. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
It's a rising, rising time.